name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and of God. Amen.
Christ is in our midst.
He is our shalom.
So this gospel is very interesting because we have this young man coming to the Lord. He's very respectful when he comes to the Lord. It says he came to Jesus kneeling, it says. And he asks what he needs to do to have eternal life. This is different than some of the Gospels where the premise is, and then they try to trick him, or they try to test him. You know, where like the Pharisees would ask him questions to try to get him to say something that would get him in trouble. I believe that this man was very sincere in his request. He called him good teacher. He came kneeling to him and said, "What do I need?" And our Lord, he replies by reciting a chunk of the Ten Commandments, right? They sounded familiar, right? And then, of course, the love your neighbor as yourself also was on there, which isn't technically in that list of ten, but it is, as you said, in another place, one of the greatest commandments, love God and love your neighbor as yourself. And maybe that's where this man stumbles. Not that he couldn't love his neighbor as himself, which he said he did. But the Lord didn't mention the part about love God. Because knowing his heart, our Lord tries to reveal to him that which is lacking in his life, in the hopes that it will save him. So he tells him, go and sell all that you have and give it to the poor. Now this is an important lesson, because what the Lord is not saying is that everyone should sell everything that they have and give it to the poor. I mean, he says in lots of places that we need to take care of those in need in our communities. That's clear. That loving our neighbor is critical. That as you treat the least of my brethren, this is how you treat me. This is unquestioned. But this particular prescription, sell everything you have and give it to the poor, was a prescription for this man to reveal to him what was lacking. Because when he hears this, it says he went away sorrowful because he had a great many possessions. What was lacking? Anybody get it? I won't make you call out answers. I think the commandment that he had not accomplished was the commandment that said, you will have no gods before me. For it seemed that this man's riches were the most important thing in his life. Because the idea of parting with them, even if it was to achieve eternal life, caused him to go away in sorrow. And this isn't really a cross to bear for people with wealth. Certainly, when you have an abundance of wealth, if you're not aligned to Christ, that can be your goal. The continual accumulation. The whoever has the most when they die wins sort of attitude. It's not a burden that people that are going check to check necessarily have. They don't have the luxury of the abundance and then the temptation to just become in accumulation mode. It reminds me of, you know, there are some unbelievably wealthy people in this world, and one of them is a man named Warren Buffett. Warren Buffett owns a company called Berkshire Hathaway, which owns about 50 different companies and is one of the wealthiest men on the planet. Oddly enough, his partner there at Berkshire was a guy named Charlie Munger, and his son went to my high school. And so my mom knew who Charlie was, and she said to me, "You know who he is? He's a really wealthy guy. He owns See's Candy." He also owns Geico, and he owns about half of Coca-Cola and a bunch of other stuff. But my mom was connected to the See's Candy part. But the point is, Warren Buffett went to a whole bunch of other wealthy people and said to them, "You need to be philanthropists. You need to not just accumulate this wealth, but you need to put it to service in your communities." And he went to people like Bill Gates and other and other very wealthy people and said to them, "What's going on here, guys? The collection is great, but distribution is better." And he actually started teaching them about philanthropy. And so my message here is that wealthy people might have a risk of having that wealth be the focus of their life, the accumulation of that wealth and the continual growth of that wealth. Sure. But everyone has things in their life that if they are not careful, they place first. And everyone, it might be something different. What do you put before God in your life? I'm not even going to go through a list. You can probably think in your head, what are the possible things that any one of you might at any given time, at one point or another, have said, "This is the most important thing to me." And this becomes a burden for us, a barrier, if you will, to the kingdom. Because God must be first at all times. So the apostles hear the story, and they're like, "Well, who can be saved?" Right? They're like, if this guy who did all of these good things, he wasn't a bad guy. And this is why the story is helpful, because it's not like you see him as the villain. Right? He looks like a good, upstanding person. He respected the Lord. He asked what he needed to know. He had followed all of these things. He had lived a good life. But in his case, there was something that was more important than God in his life. And the Lord exposed that to him. And I guess he had a choice there. I'm gonna have faith and take a risk that God will provide. Or I'm gonna say, I don't want to reorder my life. And I'm gonna just go away sad, but not sad enough to reorder things. So, but the apostles are told by the Lord at the end, he says, he looks at them and he says, "With men this is impossible, with God all things are possible." You know, following Christ is simple. Following Christ is not easy. This is what Father John Reinhold used to say all the time. Blessed memory. He used to say, "I'm going to teach you how to be a good Christian, and it's going to be simple. But it isn't going to be easy." And what the gospel is saying to all of us is, think in our hearts, what is that thing that we could be compelled or from time to time to come to placing as more important than God. It's good to search that out. Because if we're not paying attention, it's really hard to do any corrective action, right? We don't actually recognize that we have done that. So the first thing our Lord is saying is, ask those questions. Be attentive. What is first in my life? And then, whatever it is, could be PlayStation. It could be riches. It could be all kinds of things. But if you recognize it, you have the opportunity to choose differently. To say, PlayStation is great, but not instead of my prayers. You know? Or riches are fine, but I also am going to use that to do good works. You know? Because nothing's more important than God. So, today we're called not only to search in our hearts to say, do we from time to time put something else in first position? But also to be comforted, because it says, even if it's hard, with God, all things are possible. If you go an inch, He will take you the rest of the mile. Okay? He just wants that inch from you. Because it says, I've turned my focus back to Him. It's all He asks of us. And that He will strengthen us for the rest of the journey. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.